Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
The general election campaign threw a spotlight on the inclusion of disabled citizens in our society. We've heard many times on this programme about disability services for children and how challenging it can be to access them. Now, parents of some of those children say they hope the next government will commit to making changes. And our reporter Una Kelly has been speaking to some of them. Una, thanks for coming in to us this evening. So tell us more, please.
John, they say that they have some cautious optimism because they feel that they have to, but they also say it's difficult to maintain the energy to constantly fight for the services their children need. Children with a disability who need certain interventions like speech and language therapy or occupational therapy, they can access this through the HSE, and it's organised into 93 children's disability network teams across the whole country. Now, at the moment, there are more than 8,300 children who've been waiting more than a year for a first contact from one of these teams. Now, the reason often given for long waits is staffing and resource issues. All the parents I've been speaking to said the therapeutic staff they encounter are hardworking and doing their best for patients, but the teams appear to be overwhelmed. Now, the HSE figures that were given to me, it was from October last year, has the average vacancy rate of 32% in all of these disability teams across the country. Some parents, like Alan Power in Dublin, says this means the service the children require is practically non-existent. His 12-year-old son Gavin is autistic and requires speech therapy. Alan Power said in their case it was so challenging to access it, they felt they had no choice but to go through the private system and pay for Gavin's therapy.
If it's a critical issue, and you will be seen, you know, you'll be on a waiting list to get your assessment completed. But of course, because that is your only legal right, once the assessment is completed, there's little beyond that. So I think one of the most challenging things, one of the most difficult things is the fact that the HSE provide an assessment or make you wait for an assessment. And I think people assume that there's going to be service after that, but it's just not there.
How many years would you have been waiting to get those interventions in the public system?
Well, if you're talking about proper intervention, they just don't exist. You could, in the best case scenario, after an assessment, you might get a block of 6 to 8 sessions, which is considered of quality service, you know. If you were to go to any developed nation and look for proper interventions, you're talking about a lot more intense, a lot more engagement with the child. So they actually don't exist. So what you do get here is a lot of courses. So the parents are sent on courses and, it's completely, you know, left to the parents, I suppose, to figure it out a lot of the time.
Alan Power there. And Una, you've been speaking to other parents who say they had no other option, and this is one that came up a lot, I know, when I was travelling the country myself for the elections, but to pay for private services for their children rather than access them through the state.
Yes, John, it seems it's common among parents in this community. If they do have the resources to do so, most feel that they have to go private as their child could be waiting years to get the services that they need. Martin Thompson from North County Dublin is the father of 16-year-old Noah. Martin describes Noah is a typical teenage boy, a bit of a messer, has an infectious sense of humour and a love of sport. Noah also has Down syndrome, hearing loss, speech dyspraxia, so he has communication challenges, and his parents say he requires extensive speech therapy, occupational therapy and physiotherapy. They say in the last 2 years he was offered one speech therapy appointment, and over the years they had no option but to go private.
We found ourselves in a situation where we thought if we rely solely on the provision of services from the state, Noah's going to be left behind. He's going to be in a far more detrimental situation than he is at the moment. He has enough challenges to deal with in his day-to-day life without us adding a whole heap of on top of him. So, you know, we took the hit on the financial aspect of that. That is our only real option at the moment to get him that consistent program of work that he absolutely needs. It seems that this cohort of children are being left behind, and that sounds dramatic, but I think it is, and I think it's accurate. We shouldn't be leaving children in pain every day. We shouldn't be leaving children who can't speak with no support and no help to that. So it's I think it's a shameful indictment on this country, on the governments of this country, and on society in general, that we've allowed this situation to manifest to where we are in 2024. Like, our children can contribute to society. They can, you know, they can work, they can provide as much value into this, their local communities, into the country as a whole, as anyone can. But we need to give them that chance. We need to give them that opportunity. Why wouldn't we, would be my question. I can't answer that question. There's no rational or logical answer to why we wouldn't want that for our own children and for our country as a whole.
Disability became a feature of the election campaign. Mm. What were you thinking when you were hearing all of that?
I mean, myself and my wife sort of watched some of the coverage on the news of an evening with a you know, an arched eyebrow and a wry smile, because it was the here we go again. Good to see that we're getting some coverage once every 4 to 5 years. I remember exactly the same level of coverage, discussion, controversy. You're going to do this. No, you're not. We're going to do this. We'll do it better. In the last election, the one before that, the one before that. So we'd like to know, I suppose, okay, you've said it, you've raised it, that's great. Now let's do it. Let's see some change. Let's see some action. Let's see some ring fence funding. Let's see some proper attention. Let's see some policy. Let's see some actual change in this area, because we've heard it all before.
Martin Thompson there with a call to our new government to be. He's father of Noah. And Una, the parents you've been speaking to, well, they're pointing out this lack of services. And you mentioned there people going private. Not everyone can do that. This is a matter of dignity for their children too.
Yeah, this is the core of the issue for these children and their parents, John. They say that without having the support that they need to thrive, it affects how their children can choose to live their own lives. Miriam Kenny's 12-year-old son is autistic. She set up the parent support group Involve Autism in 2018. She says the biggest change that needs to happen now is viewing this as a human rights issue for children.
Ireland has a dark history, I suppose, when it comes to disability, where there weren't adequate services. And a lot of the time, these were provided by charities, and all religious charities, etc., would have been there and set up. But now we're moving on. And I think that over 20% of people who have a disability in Ireland. And it's time now to move forward into that rights based model. I keep saying the same thing around that for me. So it's no longer the charity, aren't we great here? Aren't we helping people out here? No, we want a rights-based. My child has the same rights as everybody else, rights to an education, a rights to proper health service, etc. So we have to stop that language. And I think it's the language base around that that really needs to change. And I think the mindset needs to change around that.
Do you have faith that the incoming government will change things?
I do think that the impetus is there. But we need to action things. So we've said we're going to do this, and this is how this is going to happen. So you have to actually be mindful of that. And it's the accountability piece for us. So again, the oversight, what is actually happening? When did you say this was going to happen? And has it happened? And that's what needs to happen. So I think the time has come to stop the charity based, back to the human rights based, but down back to action, and actually action all those reports. Again, there is report after report after report, fantastically written. But what's actually happening with them? And I think that's the change that needs to happen.
Miriam Kenny there. Una, what's the HSE saying about this?
I had a statement from them saying, "We're sorry to those families who have had a poor experience in trying to access care." They say there's an acknowledged national and international shortage of health and social care professionals with the necessary qualifications and experience. They say they're working on recruitment and retention measures, and that they're starting to see vacancies being filled. The HSE also said, "We've increased the number of clinical placements in the teams for undergraduates to experience working in children's disability network teams."
Una Kelly, thank you very much. Great to hear from those parents there. And like I said, I know there are many who got in touch with us during the elections. Please continue to do so. Drivetime at rte.ie.